Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Mike Cosentino is on the road somewhere in the Northeast, and we'll be back pretty soon, probably the week after next. We have an old friend of the program, a man who's been the researcher in a lot of ways for Democratic Perspective for many years, Gary LeMaster. He's in Minnesota. Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning. I'm sure you can find, if you're looking for Mike, you can probably find him in a bar in somewhere in upstate New York.
Right. Well, I understand that. And I must say I drank my way across, Ireland, and I'm a guy who doesn't really drink at all. They just have such good beer and stuff. Last week I arrived after 20 some hours on planes and, stuff, and I introduced one of the guests as Al. I left out his last name, Camello. He's a good guy. He's going to be running for the fire board, and so I apologies to Al. I was just jet-lagged out of my braino. We want to talk about the Tea Party and the connection with Americans for Prosperity and basically these Koch brother fronts. But first, I want to talk a little bit before we bring Gary in about what's happening in Sedona. So in Sedona, we're seeing a massive attempt and a very angry, divisive, over-the-top attempt to take over Sedona city government. And basically, the plan to oppose home rule. If you oppose home rule, it'll cut the budget in half. It'll destroy the ability of the city to do anything, give money to the library and so forth and so on. This is an attack that's so extreme that all the usually competing elements of Sedona politics, retirees and people who work here who have slightly different interests, right? And environmentalists and the Chamber of Commerce and the Democrats and the Chamber of Commerce. I'm no big fan of the Chamber of Commerce, who's done a lot of anti-environmental stuff in the past, but they seem to have changed from that. The attacks on them are just over the top. It's basically, what would you call it? Just a collection of lies, exaggerations, extraordinarily selective information and statistic. So on the front, I'd say Sedona seems an unlikely candidate for the Tea Party takeover. And the reason is that, you know, Sedona votes Democratic. It has not voted for a Republican presidential candidate since Bush ran the first time against Gore. It hasn't done it. There are hundreds of more Democrats and Democratic voting independents in Sedona than there are conservatives and Republicans. There's a strong conservative Tea Party movement. So they're saying, well, there isn't a Tea Party anymore. We abandoned the Tea Party in 2014. Well, the Tea Party had accumulated a really toxic reputation in Sedona. And so they renamed it as Concerned Citizens of Arizona or something like that. So they keep changing the name. In fact, they have a website where they bragged about, the slogan was, you know, we can do a lot of good if people don't know who we are. That's essentially what it was. It's phrased in a much more positive way. But that was the move. The move was, let's dump that name because it's getting us nowhere. People don't like the Tea Party here. They really don't like it. And so they changed their name. And so the new organization or emphasis is coming from a group called American Liberty, heavily funded by a single individual, led in part by a guy who's attacking the Sedona city government who doesn't even live in Sedona. Many of the people who collected signatures for their stuff don't even live in Sedona. They're not citizens of Sedona. They live somewhere else. So we have a situation where extreme right wingers are trying to take over the city, and they're trying to use the fact that we have a traffic problem here, which we do have, in order to hit the Chamber of Commerce. It just seems so odd that we have an organization, a collection of people who are so extreme that they're actually attacking Sedona businesses. We have 10,000 people who work and get their livings in Sedona. You know, a lot of them can't live here, can't afford to live here, live down in Cottonwood. But it's 10,000 people, and tourism is the only real industry in Sedona. We should diversify, but right now that's what it is. So they're attacking the fundamental economics of Sedona, and their methodology has been, well, disrespectful of the norms that we normally do things. And it's little stuff, but it adds up, sticking their placards basically in front of people's yards who they know disagree with them, and putting it in the right of way so people can't take down their sign. They've stuck signs all along 89A and a few elections ago, and these are conservatives and Republicans and Democrats and so forth all agreed not to put signs on 89A, but the Tea Party types, whatever they rename themselves, that's who they are. I've seen some astonishing stuff on the social media. We know these are the same people who ran the Tea Party. It's not a big secret. A little bit of a research, you'll find out who they are. And the Tea Party here was particularly extreme and crazy. I don't understand, you know, the logic of some of their positions. It's not normal or old-fashioned conservatives, which are really for keeping government small and letting the people who are very successful economically keep as much money as possible while doing this little bit socially as they can. They believed in things like, Agenda 51. I mean, just, it's nutcase stuff. They had a prayer vigil. They went down to a Baptist church. And they had a prayer vigil on the eve of when Obama's running for re-election. And they had prayer warriors who were down there praying that Obama wouldn't win. They had a whole meeting. They tried to recruit almost 150 people for this thing. That's their idea of religion. I'm sorry. That's what they think. Pray against Obama winning an election. To me, pretty, I don't know. I won't comment on it too much. So what we want to move on is if you're in Sedona, you're seeing basically the evidence of how the Tea Party and the Koch brothers work. And you're seeing it graphically here in our small town. And you're seeing a town that votes Democratic. And so the problem that, and I think we'll talk with Gary about this, the problem the Koch brothers and the Tea Party have had, but particularly the Koch brothers, who basically helped fund the early Tea Party and set up organization before it, is that their ideas on the surface are not popular. So we get this morass, or I guess a very organized web of lies and misinformation, because if they just said what they were for, let's destroy Sedona city government, they wouldn't get a lot of votes. So there's a lot of confusing signs. They claim that if you vote no and cut Sedona's budget in half, why are you doing that? Most of the money in comes to Sedona from sales tax on the on visitors. A fairly reasonable majority of it does. And there are no property taxes in Sedona. So they're trying to cut spending based on taxes that we're not even paying. It's astonishing to me that they're doing this. Gary, so we're having this horrendous battle that no one's ever seen before. Very, very nasty battle being fought out on social media, being fought out with signs, being fought out with media. We're having this nasty battle, and the Tea Party has come back, different names, to Sedona big time. So, Gary, how does all this stuff get going? Let's talk first about an organization that basically infiltrated and funded the Tea Party. And that's Americans for Prosperity, which is a Koch brothers front, right?
Right. Excuse me. Right. It's one of many that they have. I think, you know, just listening to the problems going on in Sedona, excuse me, it's really hard to hear, but it's really right out of the playbook of the Koch brothers. I like to say that their agenda, excuse me, is best described as the survival of the richest. The best way to understand them is the Koch brothers and all of their many, you know, organizations is if somebody asked you if you'd agree to change America, to get rid of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, VA health care, the EPA, public schools, public lands, and national monuments, and among many other things, would you vote for them? And the answer is almost universally no. But they get their way by working towards that agenda by using social issues. So they get people to talk about religion, about gay marriage, about abortion, and other social issues. And then, meanwhile, they're working at their real goals. People, you know, they like to believe, they like to say that they're for small government. And they're for liberty and freedom. All of their organizations have, you know, liberty and freedom and, other words like that in their titles. But they're not for a smaller government. They're just for a government that they agree with. That's why their allies vote for state legislators. You know, they talk about, for example, states' rights. But then their legislatures they control vote to overrule cities that ban plastic bags, or in the case of Sedona, vote for home rule. They want to control the governments from top to bottom to do their bidding.
For example, home rule is about Sedona controlling the expenditures from the money that it raises. And the whole point of this campaign by the Tea Party, Arizona Liberty, and the rest of these characters is to undercut the ability of Sedona to control its own finances. So do they want smaller government? Yeah, well, they'll cut the Sedona government in half, and then they'll try to pick up the pieces, I guess. I don't know. I agree with you. It's interesting, Gary. I ran across an article by a man who worked in H.W. Bush administration in 1993. And after the administration was defeated by Clinton, he went to work for a Koch brothers group. He didn't know it was a Koch brothers group originally. And what he found out was that a lot of the Tea Party information, the whole ideology, was there in 1993, was being funded by the Koch brothers, and it was being funded by large tobacco industry figures, Philip Morris and so forth and so on, and R.J. Reynolds. They were trying to stop any kind of regulation, local or statewide, that would cut into their business model, which was selling tobacco to people. And they had a problem, which is, of course, that it causes cancer. So here's an interesting article. I believe it was in Time magazine. Jeff Nesbitt, conservative Republican who was appalled when he got involved in the Koch brothers. So in 1993, Gary, they're already getting going with this anti-government ideology so that they won't be regulated.
Well, it actually goes back, you know, beyond that. If you, you know, I put in a plug for Nancy McLean's book, Democracy and Change. If you really want to understand where this is headed and the roots of it, it goes back to, in the Koch brothers' case, it goes back to their father, Fred Koch, who is a staunch libertarian.
And John Birch Society member, right?
Right. He was one of the founders of the John Birch Society, and he created, built a large refining business. And, he absolutely hated the federal government because the federal government was telling them that they couldn't, you know, pollute the air and the land at will with their refineries. And they started placing regulations on the business. So, you know, he helped found the John Birch Society, and that was, you know, basically killed back in the 60s. It was kind of pushed aside by William F. Buckley and some others as being too extreme.
Okay, so it goes way, way back and has many iterations, right? In other words, it's like the Tea Party here. They call themselves the Arizona Freedom Alliance. They call themselves Concerned Citizens of Arizona, but it's the Tea Party. And so the Koch brothers are operating in the same way. They have a bunch of different front organizations. They change the names. They move from one place to another. And they're heavily funded. Now, when we talk about the Koch brothers, we should be more exact. It's at this point, down the line from where Gary is talking about, it's now the Koch brothers network. A lot of the money, probably the vast majority of it, is no longer coming from the two brothers. I mean, they're spending, what, $400 million or whatever on the next election. But the amount of money coming in is well over $1 billion, and it's from their political, ideological friends.
Correct. Just for background, the Koch brothers' business, their Koch Industries, is the second largest private corporation in the world.
They got lots of money, Gary.
According to reports that I found, Charles is worth approximately $60 billion with a B, and his brother David is by comparison a pauper. He's only worth about $50 billion.
Oh my, poor man.
So they use that money, to put $400 million into an election is kind of like pocket change for them. They own, Koch Refining, they own Georgia Pacific, Dixie Paper Products, Brownie Paper Towels, Northern Paper Products, Lycra Fabrics, Stainmaster Carpets, and a lot of other famous brands.
So they have vast amount of resources, and if I understand it, I mean, the tax break they got from the Trump administration's push to cut taxes on the very, very wealthy would compensate them from all their spending for the next 10 years. I mean, they basically we're up against people who have unlimited economic spending. And they're allied with a lot of other people. So how did they get this thing going, Gary? They had Americans for Prosperity. That's their biggest front group. They have a Hispanic front group. They have a youth group. And I think they have a women's group. But the main thing is they're operating through Americans for Prosperity, which is a large organization with a big budget. And I think at this point, what they did was they didn't have popular support. So they built up this popular support and they've gotten about 1 million people or so, maybe more, into Americans for Prosperity. Many of them, of course, far from the Koch brothers in terms of the amount of money and influence they have. But they buy into it. They see somebody really wealthy and powerful, and they want to be a part of that, I think is how it works. So,
well, if it benefits the others that join in, like Sheldon Adelson and a lot of other billionaires and multimillionaires, if you want to really look at the history, it's really hard to name all of the organizations that they either founded or controlled in the early days of the organizations, but you can look at things like they have policy organizations like ALEC. We've talked a lot about ALEC on the show in the past, the American Legislative Exchange Council. You know, it's one of the nation's most influential groups who writes legislation for states, you know, for its conservative members. So, you know, the members go to a large gathering and they're handed model legislation to take back and sponsor in their names. And the legislation's all written by corporations.
So what happens, I'm thinking, Gary, and just sorry to interrupt you, but so what happens is, if you cut government way back, then who controls the country? It's the people with money, The oligarchs, exactly. Who really control the country, right? And so this pattern, we've studied an interesting article and book on how oligarchs control it goes all the way back to Athens. And what they do is they cut down public spending and the sense that the public, the democracy, is spending money to do good things like build highways and stuff. And they try to privatize everything. And then they they stand around and they donate stuff. And the Koch brothers are doing this a lot now in New York. And they donate money to rebuild the fountain of the Metropolitan Museum and so forth and so on, and get their name stuck on everything. So they replace public spending, citizen action with oligarchic action. And this oligarchic action makes them the big players in this game. Am I wrong about this? Or
no, not at all. They're using that. They do have family foundations that, both for Charles and David, and they each have their own, and they still maintain the Fred Koch, their father's foundation. But that basically gives them public relations cover for all the things they're doing. The thing that's really important to look at in their philosophy is that they really dislike. And their main goal is to overturn majority rule. They don't believe that all Americans should be allowed to vote, even American citizens. They think that if the majority is allowed to control the country, then the majority will give themselves things. So they're kind of the founders of the whole philosophy of givers and takers, The wealthy are the givers, and everyone else are the takers.
And if you start, Gary, if you start your career and you decide to be a teacher or a fireman or any one of 100 other professions, we're a beautician, anything, you're never going to get really rich. A lot of people decide in the beginning of their careers not to get really rich, and this will turn the control over the country to people who. Usually it's their families. They have a lot of family money, whether you're talking about Donald Trump or the Koch brothers to start with, and then they get even richer. It'll shift power to a very few. It's like Trump's the Republican Party's tax cut. I was looking at the stuff about the early Tea Party, Gary, and one of their campaigns was to fight the budget deficit. And, of course, when they get in power, your Tea Party figures. Now, the Tea Party guys in the Congress have now called themselves the Freedom Caucus because, again, the Tea Party was getting kind of a bad rep. So they renamed themselves, but it's the same principles. And I'm looking at your notes, and, you're listing their political organizations, Freedom Works, Americans for Prosperity Foundation, Freedom Partners, Competitive Enterprise Institute, Generation Opportunity, Freedom Partners, Chamber of Commerce, Concerned Veterans for America, Pacific Research Institute, which is kind of a neutral sounding, but these all sound really good, right?
Exactly. They give them these really nice sounding platitudes as names. And each of those groups that you mentioned has many, many offshoots. So they keep, adding on new organizations, and they use the whole 501c3, 501c4 structure for charitable, that was intended for charitable organizations and was, supposed to prevent, organizations from using their donations for political purposes, but they've undermined that completely. So they're all, free to take their donations and their money and use it exclusively for political purposes.
And when you research this, you find one foundation or group donating to another group, donating to another group. It's very, very hard. It would take years to trace back how they're doing it. What I'm wondering, Gary, and I don't expect a super answer on it, is why do they so deeply disrespect democracy and the norms of democracy? And we see that in Sedona, where these are these vicious attacks. There are phony screenshots. There are manipulation of images. They're insulting people. they're attacking staff because the staff, I understand how that works. I mean, they're attacking anybody, the library, the staff of the city, anybody who disagrees with them. And the problem is that their positions are so over the top that you can't kind of reach a compromise. Why this disrespect for the norms from, I guess, supposed conservatives? Why this disrespect for the way Americans have done things? For, I mean, American politics always been rough, understand, folks. I'm not saying it wasn't. But it seems to be built into what they do. The Koch brothers begin with front organizations, with disguising who they are and what they want, right?
Yeah, they're essentially laundering money through all of their organizations. What they really believe in is, you know, they're kind of originalists with the Constitution. They really would prefer to go back to something close to the Articles of Confederation that really didn't have a central government, to assess taxes and to, to control states from doing things against the public interest. But what they really believe government is good for, and the only things the government should do, is military defense and police or law enforcement and social order. And that's the extent of what they think government should do. Anything that benefits the majority, such as Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and VA and food stamps and all the safety nets, the EPA, HUD, all of those things they think are unconstitutional and illegal. And one of the things that groups or think tanks that they've funded to undercut the current government is the Federalist Society, and you may recognize that name from the Trump administration, where the Federalist Society is basically a group that believes in the Constitution the way that the Koch brothers and Antonin Scalia believed in it. And so they assess judges and they help people get through law school and get into a position to be nominated for judge. And the Federalist Society has chosen every single one of the Trump administration's nominees for judicial appointments.
What I wonder too, Gary, is, for example, Mitch McConnell led a campaign not to even consider President Obama's appointment for the Supreme Court, so they could put it. It's their willingness to win at any cost. It's like guys cheating at a baseball game or something. I mean, that seems to be their mode. So, I mean, I've talked and debated with people who have the originalist view of the Constitution, and we shook hands afterwards. The man was a real gentleman. And, he said, I respect the fact that you believe what you said. And I just said the same thing to him. We're never going to agree, but we can have a civil discourse. But I don't think that a civil discourse is really in these folks' interest. I mean, a civil discourse where people are examining the actual facts is not a good thing for them, because it'll expose the misstatements, the misinterpretations, and frankly lies that they're telling. And we certainly see that in Sedona now.
It'll expose their real goals. If you've ever had a conversation with Paul Gosar or Bob Thorpe, to put this in a local position, both of them, especially Thorpe, is exceedingly polite. It sounds like he's listening to you. He'll never make a statement of anger or a statement of policy. He'll dance around it and smile and then turn around and do what he wants. And he's actually written the book, and you and I have looked at the notes for it.
And there was nothing there.
There's nothing there.
I was expecting,
there except,
you know, I was expecting
to tell people how to engage in politics, which is to do exactly what Thorpe does, which is to smile and be polite and then go do what you want, regardless of the public interest.
Speaking of Bob Thorpe secretly got one of the Tea Party people in another district to introduce a bill claiming that the Sedona government was acting unconstitutionally. They left out 5 pages of this complaint. But what happens in Arizona is the bizarre law that no matter how improbable the case, if a representative introduces it, it has to be investigated by the attorney general. They dropped it right when it was happening. There is, however, and I would recommend, if you really want to understand Bob Thorpe, Sedona Red Rock News did an interview with him, and it's on their website. It's I can't give you the email. I mean, the HTTP address is too long, but you'll see the real Bob Thorpe if you listen to this audio. And he's basically lying from beginning to end. They requested some information from him, and he denied he had any of the emails. And then they found the emails and the person that he sent them to and called him on it. Slippery guy. And someone who deliberately, I think, tried to hurt and injure Sedona's civic life and government. Bob Thorpe is our representative. I don't think anybody, right, left, or center, should vote for this guy ever again. Take a look at what he's done, lying about introducing this thing. We don't know who put him up to it. We probably can guess, but he attacked his own constituents, the government of his own constituents. This is the man who's our state representative.
Constituents are honestly of no consequence to the true believers of the Koch brothers' philosophy. It really isn't. They are afraid of constituents. They are afraid of government by the majority, by true democracy. And so they do everything within their power to bend the rules so that they can control it. And like I said, they'll keep putting up these straw dogs or these red herrings, whatever you want to call them, and get people focused on issues that have nothing to do with their agenda, like gay marriage. And, the Koch brothers could care less about gay marriage. It's just an issue they can use to divide and separate people so that we all, argue and fight against ourselves, so that people like Bob Thorpe and Gosar and others can go about the business of putting through the Koch brothers' agenda.
These folks call themselves libertarians. They're not really libertarians. And we had long dialogues with them in the 60s and 70s. Back then, they were really strongly for freedom for speech and for a lot of other things. And now we find them, they seem to be completely shifted by the kind of Koch brothers philosophy. They always were against government, and they always were against, they basically did not have any fellow feeling. In other words, they never thought of the United States, we're all in this together. There was, if we're all into this together, I'm really, really smart and I lose. I mean, that was basically their position. Now some of their positions are really, really don't seem to be at least original libertarian at all. They call themselves that because it sounds good.
Right. It's all about money. You know, Nancy McLean and her book, I encourage everyone to read it or at least go back to go to our website for the radio show, vvid.org, and look for the interview that Steve and Mike did with her. She describes it as they're interested in liberty of property. In other words, liberty or freedom of the property owner. So, they don't want to give up any of their rights or any of their money for the public good. They only are interested in maintaining their wealth. It's really, it's extreme oligarchy. This is nothing less than that.
It's astonishing. I mean, this tax cut is just pouring money into the very wealthy's pockets, making the ability to deal with it, if they decide to be political, because a lot of wealthy people are not really that political. A lot of them are moderate and liberals, but it's concentrating wealth. It's doubling down and concentrating more and more wealth. I mean, if you're interested in this stuff, you can go on these websites and you'll see the impact. And, you know, and the corporations who got a tax cut didn't give a whole bunch of money to the workers. There was some grandstanding stuff. Oh, we're giving everybody $1,000. That stuff passed. All the money's going to stockholders. All the right. Increase is all going to stockholders. And there are ordinary people who own stock, and there are, like a union pension fund or a New York State pension fund that owns stock. But the vast majority of this stockholder money is going to the very wealthy. It's a little indirect, but not that much.
Another way to look at this whole movement is, if there is a pool of public money, public education, money for public education, money for Social Security in retirement, money for health care, pick whatever that pool of money is, they want to privatize it and control it. And they're a long way away or on the way to realizing their agenda. If you look at what's going on right now, They've run up the deficits. This is the group that decried deficit spending when it was needed.
Yeah, I looked at the description,
during the recession.
Cutting the deficit was one of their main things. They went all through the Obama administration, when Obama was trying to stimulate the economy so people would have work. They fought against deficits, and then they get in power. Gary, what happens?
They run it up extremely, and that's part of the plan, is that if they can force the government into extreme debt, then they will, be able to convince the public to enact extreme measures to get out of that debt. And those extreme measures would be doing things like getting rid of Social Security. If you look at what they've already accomplished with this administration along those lines, is that They basically undermined and destroyed the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, and are returning to free market health care, which was, horrible.
Not free market if you don't have much money, I'll tell you that. I mean, most people I worked with, when I worked for 10 years in Sedona, most people didn't have any medical insurance. They just, a song and a prayer, oh, I hope nothing happens to me bad, or they said, well, I'll go to the emergency room and then I just won't pay them. Things like this. I mean, and they would never say that, except that, it's their life is at stake. And, I think that's what you see. So what I'm trying to understand, Gary, is they really kind of want to destroy the American people's control over the public sector. They want to privatize everything. And that means the ability of Americans to do anything about their issue beyond defense, and they've been good on defense in some ways, is deeply eroded, and it's replaced by zero. So when you look at Sedona, they want to cut the budget in half, and then there are things Sedona can do. And I know the people who are in favor of home rule are right, but there are finagles, but it will put Sedona in a bad situation and lead to a ton of complicated things. So we have these lawsuits. We have, rumor is that they're suing the Sedona Library, because the library told its supporters that if they didn't pass home rule, the library would get no money from the city. So they're willing to do a lot of things. I don't know that I can really grasp in a way, Gary, where all this is going, but I can understand it logically, that what it's doing is returning power in a radical way to the wealthy. And they've always had a lot more power per square inch than anybody else. What do you think?
Well, I think people need to understand, look at the depth of how the structure they've built to control and change America. I started out, I'll make this really quick, but I think everyone should look at skepticism with skepticism at the groups that they put together, the network they put together. ALEC, the State Policy Network, the National Think Tanks of American Enterprise Institute, Cato Institute, Heritage Foundation, the Federalist Society, the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, the Institute for Humane Studies, the Institute for Justice, the Reason Foundation, the Institute for Energy Research, the Manhattan Institute, the George C. Marshall Institute, the Fraser Institute, which is a Canadian version of the American Enterprise Institute.
All right, Gary, let me be the devil's advocate here.
All of the octopus, all of the large octopus of organizations, 501c3s and 501c4s. It's astounding.
Okay, you've got the information, and you've got all these groups, all these front groups, all these variations. I want to be a devil's advocate by saying, I'm an ordinary voter in Sedona or somewhere. I don't really want to know about all these front organizations. What can I do? What can you tell me as an ordinary voter to deal with this vast Koch brothers network, Tea Party network that's bent on changing America? In other words, I don't want to know the kind of details that you do with your research. I want to know how to vote and what's going on. So I don't have to spend a lot of time on politics. I think that's a lot of where people are at. What would you say to them?
I totally agree. I would say the same thing I've been, telling my friends here in Minnesota is that don't pay attention to the distractions, the social issues and the divisions of immigration. And I mean, the Koch brothers actually want immigration. Because it's cheap labor to work in their businesses. They're not racist particularly, but they support groups that are as distractions that will help them push through their agenda under the radar. So what you need to do is look at the issues and ask yourself how you feel about the issues. Does a candidate represent my view on the issues? And the issues alone, forget the labels, and just look at the issues. Is it a good thing for Sedona to control its own government, the citizens of Sedona? Or do you really want the Tea Party or its whatever they're calling themselves now to control city government?
They say they're not the Tea Party because they changed their name.
That'll lead you.
I want to thank you for being with us today, Gary. We've got just a couple of minutes. Democrats of the Red Rocks is having all three of the LD candidates, that's legislative district candidates for our area, both two candidates for the representative and a candidate for senator. We're going to interview them. We'll have them on the show next Monday. They're an astonishingly good group. I hope Sedonians will take a stand against Bob Thorpe, whatever their politics, and that we'll get some of these people in. We have a former colonel in the military and so forth and so on. So this Thursday, 8 a.m., Dora's having a breakfast at the Old Sedona Bar and Grill. We'll be talking to these folks afterwards, and we'll have it for you on Monday. I think you're going to be impressed with them. They're a good bunch. This is the first time we've been able to interview all three of them at the same time. We've done interviews separately with the candidates, and this time we'll be able to, you'll be able to hear all three of them together and see what you guys think. They're an excellent group. There's a lot of other stuff going on. Remember, the ballots are out. Take a look at, there's a great pamphlet sent by Arizona Elections 18 about home rule. It's a extremely well written. My gosh, I would write that well. Description of how, what home rule is about. It's white and black. All right. We've running out of time. Tom's waving his hand at me. All our shows are on vvid.org. Listen.
You You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.